You're listening to a Nerdy Production.
Warning, this is a Nerdy Production.
This is the solo workshop where I will dive into some of my favorite games in my time as a GM, look at the games and why I played the games. The solo workshop will also be on the YouTube channel, so you can see art from the game I'm presenting each week. Roll for initiative! Welcome back to the GM Workshop. Today we are talking about, I will talk about the Call of Cthulhu, or more broadly the D100 system, or basic roleplay system, which are one of my not so fond memories of roleplaying games, and have been a lot of frustration for me when I'm looking at systems. And as you know, if you listened to the podcast before, I have talked about this before, because it's the D100 system is some weird construction, which I will enlighten on later. But in this episode, I will talk about the RuneQuest and, of course, the Call of Cthulhu, as I have announced in my latest episode. So let's start with the Call of Cthulhu, and the Call of Cthulhu system is. It's a renowned tabletop role-playing game, delves into the realm of cosmic horror and mystery, created by Chaosium, and was first published in 1981. The game draws from inspiration from the eerie tales of Hopi Lovecraft and broader Cthulhu mythos, and there's a comprehensive overview of this chilling role-playing games right here. So, first of all, setting an atmosphere, of course. The game is set in a darker version of our own world, where the unknown holds unimaginable horrors. Lovecraft's core philosophy, the oldest and the strongest of the emotions of mankind, is fear, and the strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. And this becomes the foundation of the game's atmosphere, and the stories often take place in the time periods of the ranging from the 1920s to the modern times, as well as various historic settings, even otherworldly realms like the Dreamlands. The game system, it's to utilize the basic role-playing system with a bit of extra crunch on top of it. It's a skill-based approach rather than level progressions. Player characters, often ordinary individuals, draw into extraordinary circumstances, improve their skills through successful use, and the game employs percentile dice, as well, like D100s, to determine the outcome of the actions, with successes or failure influence of the skill level. And this is a point I will come back to later. So, the extra crunch on top of the normal basic role-playing games are, of course, the sanity mechanic. It's a unique feature in Call of Cthulhu. It's emphasized the fragility of sanity and the character's perception of sanity points, or SAN, which erodes into encounter horrific beings, events, truth, so on, from dead bodies to rise of the great old one in front of you. The game incorporates the sanity mechanism, forcing players to confront the physical tolls of their experience as characters and delve deeper into the mythos and the sanity in voluntary deterioration. This is one of my pivot points about Call of Cthulhu, because sanity is a weird way to use mental illness and underline some of the problematic things about this game, where sanity is just another hit point source. I think that's it's a pretty cool way to link into the mythos and how to build up your extraordinary knowledge about the settings parameters, but many of the different critical hits, in terms of other words, you can receive as a character are so not well funded around real life mental illness, and it's just like, it could be better, but later on, more on that later. Um, The gameplay is normally like investigative gameplay, where the players finds out some small clues, and the small clues gets to more clues, and more clues get to a cult, and the cult has to be stopped, or the players even could be inside the cult, or and then we have to confront these eldritch horrors and enthrise to solving the puzzle, piecing together clues, and make a critical decision to navigate through the darkness. We all know this, but in terms of gameplay as GM, handouts and sound bites and setting up characters to fail or not fail that much that will die, but still have them to be the part of the history, the story of the game, it's pretty hard to make it something that we want to do again and again and again. And therefore the setup in Call of Cthulhu is pretty cool, like running a campaign or a short range of scenarios. And normally this is one of my problems with Call of Cthulhu, that you will never have a expanding of the characters because they often get insane or stab each other in the back or so on. And that's fine, that's cool, but it's not a campaign game for me. It's you can of course have a longer story, a long campaign, like the Trail of Cthulhu games I talked to about with Steve about the Cemetery of Fears, and of course Mask of Nyarlathotep, sorry the pronunciation, or Horror of the Oriental Express. These games are of course very long and have a lot of like ups and downs and so on, and that's pretty cool. But when then you want to run another campaign, and many of the tropes are already used, so you can rerun a lot of the tropes and with reskin them in some kind, but they will still be the same tropes. And yeah, and that's so some of my problems with this game. For instance, as a GM, you can of course run the same game with different groups, but if you have a firm group or a group you play frequently with, you have to reskin these tropes a lot to make it interesting, because the game player game flow is probably the same every time. It's like clues into clues into clues into a cult into a great old one, and have to stop this in some capacity. You can of course do it in many different ways, but the start, the middle, and the outcome are often the same in the game. So it's many of the horror games I play have the same problems actually, but they're handling it in a better way to figure out how to make the horror the key element and not the investigation part a key element in the game. So so yeah, it's some of my problems with the Call of Cthulhu, but I will enlighten that on later. Game mastering is called a keeper in this, and it's pretty weird, keeper of arcane lore or whatever, and the keeper keeps the information from the players, and therefore the game mastering part of the game, or the leading the game, or helping the players figure out what to do in the game, are kept from them. So it's words, of course, in words, but the keeper is the game master in this game. But the wording is pretty important for me, because keeping stuff from your players is of course part of being a game master, but keeping key ways to play the game, or helping the players creating the best story for the entire table, is one of my pivots in when I'm trying to run games. As such, I always want to share my views with the players, so they are also in part of the story, so they're not me that just tells a story and keeps a lot of secrets from my players, but letting them open these secrets and make them decision, like meta decisions or character decisions. That's some of the cool things. And in horror games, I think this is very important. Of course, the fear of the unknown, as H.P. Lovecraft likes to say it, is some of the things that are important. But if you have experienced players that have played this game a lot, they already know about these things, that I have to make meet decisions not to run into these things, so you have to surprise them in other ways eventually. Of course you have could have new players, and this is just a cool thing, but many of us as a DMs, we have a lot of experienced players because we are self experienced players, and diving into this setting for the first time with new players, it's such a cool thing because there's a lot of things, especially if your players don't know the setting at all. It's, you can use so many tropes and so many things, but this is true for any horror game like Cult or Wesen or whatever. So using this system as a bridge into this is, it's not for me, but it's I can understand the draw the first time, or second time, or third time, or fourth time, or whatever, to run games in the Call of Cthulhu game or setting. Of course, one of the things that are cool is realistic threats. It's not only monsters, but also regular guys with regular guns, and the characters are regular guys or gals in the 1920s, and they will probably die if you get shot by a shotgun, and that's pretty cool. I love the realism in the game, but it's not a fighting game, so it's not really important for me that the players are set on realistic games. We can talk about that on RuneQuest later, because that's important in that game, because that is a fighting game. But of course, the mortality in the characters give the realism some draw and make the system more lethal, and therefore the players take more safe decisions into a setting. Of course, you have players that are very lean into playing like fighter kind of characters, and who take their Tommy gun and have max in con and strength, and they can beat up anything, but they will still die from the Eldritch Horror in the dark, for sure. So it's not a fighting game, but and of course the Session Zero and make the players understand what they are creating, which kind of character they are creating, are of course pretty important. The cosmic horror themes, if you are as a GM love the H.P. Lovecraft setting, read all the books and so on, use those things from the horrors. My problem with cosmic horror is that it is antagonists that the players cannot interact with as such. They can of course stop the ritual, but if the game is about having some god entering our world or something, and they somehow doesn't do that, the game ends, and that's fine. But as a antagonist as such, it's just not a very interesting antagonist for so many reasons, if you want to fight it, because that's the theme about cosmic horror. You have to comprehend the cosmic entities and takes them on in different stages before they are fully evolved or fully reach our world or something like that, and that's a pretty cool thing. But it's like fighting gods or whatever. You cannot fight a god or a cosmic horror as such. Using cosmic horror, like thriving into the cosmic horror themes in the game, are pretty difficult for GM. So not making just a Dungeons and Dragons with shotguns and weird monster in the shadows. Make sure that this is... Be aware of the cosmic horror elements in the game, for sure. Of course, there's a lot of drawbacks from the Lovecraft, the legacy of that guy. I don't want to talk about him so much, but I have a lot of interviews with a lot of guys and that knows a lot about this setting, so you can listen to that if you want to know more about H.P. Lovecraft and the setting as such. But as Call of Cthulhu as a game, it's of course the first one, and it's the most iconic game, for sure. Linking into another basic role-playing game, and that's came out 3 years earlier from Avalon Hill and Chaosium. It was created by Steve Perrin and Steve Henderson, Warren James or Ray Turner. It's called RuneQuest, and it set it in a low fantasy, high fantasy, low epic setting called Glorantha. It's a huge setting. I never played in the setting as such. I've played a lot of the system in the roleplay world. My old GM, before I was a forever GM, I had a GM called Miguel, and he loved this system, and we played the Enemy Within campaign in this setting. We never reached book two because we constantly died because we didn't understand the mortality in the system. So that's one of my problems with RuneQuest, because it's set up as a game where the player should fight in some capacity, because it's a fantasy, high fantasy setting where we have to fight through some opponents. We can of course make some experience, but it's very crunchy. It's very hard to figure out what to do in the setting. The setting are not the system are not tuned to play that many fights, because one critical hit from an opponent and your arm are gone, and then your fighter character is not anymore. You can of course die in combat, but that's that's fine. You just create another character. But if you have created a fighter character and the goblin hits you with a spear, and this has happened to me, he critical hits with a 0-1. I lost my arm, and my character was didn't work the rest of the game, because that was my whole my gem was I was a former mercenary, and I had this great sword and blah blah blah. But yeah, my character didn't really work anymore, and I have to retire it. And it was just weird because it was a hard campaign, so it was pretty important we had the campaign set up like this, and the character was integrated into the Enemy Within campaign. If you know that campaign, there's some pre-key elements that the characters are the main characters in the campaign, and then retiring or killing characters off because of the system didn't work for me. I've looked at RuneQuest systems, this RuneQuest system, a lot of times, and I played it as a GM and as a player, and it's so lethal, and it's so hard to control the games if the players has to fight, or the characters has to fight in the setting. And that's one of my problem with this system, because we as GMs like to have some kind of control on when and how to pressure our players, and this system just gives so little tools to help you as a GM to help the players survive a combat that are maybe just very banal. And of course this is such a weird term, because I love the alien system where it's very lethal and killing off characters, but that's more themed in that setting because it's cinematic scenarios, it's rough action, it's raw, it's alien, that's xenomorph that comes running at your face and so on. But yeah, this is just, yeah, that's just so hard to control. And of course creating a character in both Call of Cthulhu and RuneQuest is a that takes a long time. That's a lot of points you have to deal out. You have to roll. Some GMs want to roll the different stats, and yeah, it's hard to just pick up another character, because you have to use a lot of time to create a new character after you lost your arm to a goblin critical hit. So that's some of my problems with these two system. Not as much in Call of Cthulhu, because it's not so much a combat game, but of course you have to sometimes fight through some cultists and so on, but normally you're just a pile of hit points. In the RuneQuest system you have location hit points, And if you're not a very tough character, you could have like 3 or 4 hit points in an arm and maybe some armor pieces, and you have like 2 extra absorption, and then you are hit by an arrow which are critting you and give 1d8, and that's 2d8s, and then you have lost your arm twice because they rolled 13 on the dice or something like that. It's just, yeah, it's hard to make your players survive in this game, and that's, you have to have this on a scale if you want to pick this game up, because it's a great game if you want real hardcore crunchy combat where the players are constantly in danger. But make sure tell your players that they can die by a strafe arrow from a goblin, and if they come from D&D, of course, this is another thing. In later versions of RuneQuest and of Call of Cthulhu, you have the luck mechanic that can help you. In RuneQuest, it's called the fate mechanic, and helping fudging the dice rolls and so on, and that's pretty cool. I've tried the newer version of RuneQuest, and it was fine, but still some of the same problems. And yeah, basic roleplay. One of the reasons I have been late on this episode is that I have tried to figure out how to say my thoughts about the D100 system and why I dislike it so much. Okay, here goes. When I'm DMing, I like my players to succeed, but not succeed as they make them be superheroes. Of course, this happens in the Western D6 system games. We can have a wild dice that goes amok, and you have like a 50 on a dice pool of 3 dice and so on, whatever. In Cult, you can roll 20 and you can do whatever better. Even D&D, you can roll a critical 20, and it's just super, super. But in all these games, there is a key moment. Like, free league games are some of my favorite games, as you know. You as a DM sets a difficulty in some capacity. You could do this in D&D, you do this in free league games, you do this in Blades in the Dark, you set this in whatever. And you as DM doesn't have to set this difficulty. You just could have that in your mind. And if the players roll, like in the free league system, you just roll one sixes in your dice pool, you can succeed, but you can say, oh yeah, but you get over the fence, but your trousers are ripped, so you have 1 minus in influence in the next scene, because it's not cool to have some trousers that are ripped or something like that. So give the players the feeling that they have succeeded, but actually you have to, in your mind, have to two successes, but yeah, you don't have to tell the players that you needed 2 successes. So you can, of course, let your players know this if you want some tension on the table. But in the D100 systems, the players always knows what their target number is. They always know it. They know their library use, like 80%. I have to roll under 80%, and then I'm clear. You can, of course, say, as a DM, there's a minus 20 because you are in a hurry, or it's a weird collection of books or whatever. But that this is something you announce beforehand, so the player knows this. So then you have 60%. And if the player fails, they fail. They know they fail. And if you just said, okay, you find this book anyway, the player's like thinks, okay, so why did I make this roll? This will succeed anyway. So the narrative and the failure rates of this system are so integrated into the one of the problems with the Power by the Apocalypse is the same thing, because you know what the scales are, but in the middle result there is a yes but result or no but result, and in So we can fudge a lot of things as a GM and make the game more narrative and give them some more legrand. In this system, in the D100 systems, there is a failure and another failure. And that's not cool for me. I love the things that are the players succeed but terms, or they fail but systems. And both the Free League systems and the Power by the Apocalypse systems are much better for this. And for horror games like Call of Cthulhu, which are my key talking point in this game, but this episode, this crunch that and these failed or not failed parameters in the system gives me some problems in telling a cool and horrific story, because you run through the warehouse, the monster is after you. I fail my run check. Cool, the monsters catch you and you kill me. But if you have a roll that are okay, one success if you use the Free League system or the middle system in the Power by the Apocalypse systems, I can say that the monster are just in the tail of you. You run into a box, you hit your hip, you fall around the table, and then you can fight off the monster and run through. You can of course say this in the Call of Cthulhu sort of basic roleplay system, but if you do this, the players are thinking, huh, so I failed my role, but I get out off anyway. So and that's just weird. And so we have this weird like power dynamic between the GM and the players, because the character sheet tells them that they failed, but me as a GM says you do not fail. And why is it that we have this system that gives us like black and white kind of thing? I know the 7th edition have the luck rules and like the fail forward mechanics, but they are not very elegant integrated into the way that system works, and they give them a lot of crunch, especially the luck mechanic, which is just it's cool. I love media currency, don't get me wrong, but if you want to scale a encounter in some capacity and fudge the role, again the monster through the warehouse kind of thing, you have to use crunch to leverage this this interaction with this monster in some way, and then the scene stops up and doesn't make it fluent, and it don't make it horror kind of thing. And that's one of my key things with this system. There's too much crunch for making it horrific. If I want the horror, it has to be in your face kind of thing. It's gonna be stressful or creepy. And rolling a lot of D100s and figuring out how much or how less if I fail or not fail this check, and what happens if I do not fail this check, what happens if I fail this check. I'd rather just want to play like Call of Divinity Lost or even Trail of Cthulhu, which have the same kind of currency, just a integrated currency, which makes it more easy to create a stressful and horrific story. Back to the RuneQuest system and the basic roleplay system. Of course, the crits, as we talked about, also all the critical failures, as we talked on, but also the system where we have this weird combat and all the other skills that are not really important. Of course, there could put some investigation into a RuneQuest system, but for the players to survive this game, the combat stats or combat skills are so key for these characters. Looking at the game Call of Cthulhu, my history with the game is that, of course, my old GM Mikkel played it a lot. We played all these small scenarios from the 5th edition book, like Lurker in the Attic and so on. We tried one of some of the campaigns. We didn't really get them traction on them. And then I run a lot of Call of Cthulhu myself as a GM, where I ran a campaign in the 1950s, which was pretty cool. The system had a lot of problems making it, and the structure of the Mythos game was pretty difficult to set up a longer campaign, because either the players died by a shotgun, that's fine, we'll just make a new character for next Friday, but also the Mythos themes was hard to give the players without giving them too much, and always remember this fear in the dark kind of thing. The themes in the setting, it's of course horror. It's H.P. Lovecraft horror. It's 1920s. The Eastern USA. Racism. It's sanity. It's all these things. And if you want to use all these themes in your game, be aware of appropriation, because it's a thing. Because if you read the books, especially the early books, this is not a thing at all. They did not think of any of these things back in the days. It's been a bit better in the 7th edition book, but the sanity rules are not cool. Just using mental illness like a critical hit is not cool, and I don't like it as much. I like small things the players are like, you should act like this kind of thing to make problems for your characters, but not give them psychosis or whatever. And give them schizophrenia and so on, and misinterpreting what schizophrenia in the outmost is, and so on. And yeah, they could be better in that theme. But the sanity mechanic and linking into the knowledge of the horror, that's pretty cool. And using that, I've been a lot of inspiration for my own game Spiral, and linking the character's insanity into be a more powerful creature actually, and opening up their inner mind and making sure that the Mythos cosmos thingy can see them and they can see it and so on, making them like from humans to more like cultists, more entities, and so on. That loop, in that scope, it's pretty cool, and it's cool, and pretty cool if you can use it as a GM. How to run this game? Yeah, I want to run it with like three or maybe max four players. I want to set it in the 1920s. I want to run the Mask of Nyarlathotep, and I want to run the pre-written great scenarios that Kyoshim have created, because they are designed for it. I maybe link into the Yellow King, and using some of that mythos because it's newer, the quote unquote, and many more experienced players do not know about the Yellow King and so on. So if I want to run a game, I want to set it in that theme for sure, and make it pretty tight with a lot of handouts, of course, because that's my thing. It's just a cool game. I love it. The setting is, it's just great to run a game like that. System-wise, I do not want to use the D100. I think I have made that pretty clear, but as a setting, I love it because it has a lot of things going for it, and there are so much things and history and stories and so on. I don't want to set it in the 1920s or 30s, but I don't want to set it in the the Eastern America. That's for sure. But Zedek, you sit as you want, of course. But in terms of a new GM picking this game up, set it in the 1920s, set it in the Eastern U.S. and around Boston, you can go wrong with that for sure. My do's and don'ts in this setting, don't use the D200 system. That's my don't. And the use, pick out the sanity things which are not cool, and make sure that they are not ruining the fun for anyone. And it's just make sure we appropriated into know what mental illness is today, and make sure nobody is hurt by this. Of course, a deep session zero, making sure the players are knowing that they are not D&D characters, know that they are mortals, and the game we are about to play are not a longer campaign like we play like maybe 10 sessions and then it's it and we play something else and maybe we'll pick up Call of Cthulhu another day. That's my do's in this campaign setting way to play this. Why I don't play this game? It's hard to find a player group which are not familiar with the setting. I rather want to pick up, if I want to play this kind of game, I play Cult instead, or Vesen if I want to play a little bit of further back in time. So this setting is absolutely for me. And if I want to pick up a horror game or play a horror game with a group, I don't want to use a D100 system. I have a group which have asked me to sometimes to play some Call of Cthulhu with them, and I said I want to play Call of Cthulhu with you, but I will use the Cult system instead. Because it's more lean, it's better adaptable, and it's much better in terms of not so much crunch, and the personal horror is much easier to link into. Or use my own spiral system, FYI, if I want some more personal horror with the D100 or the free league system. Instead, I want to use it in that terms instead. So look out for the our next spiral game. It's called Bloody Cargo, and it's set in the 1920s on a ship outside the coast of Shanghai, and I hope I will make it release it like in a few months. And if you don't have always checked out my horror game Jungle Chief, check that out for sure. There's a link in this podcast. So that was me for today. The next time I want to look at the Vampire the Masquerade or Word of Darkness more broadly, but especially Vampire the Masquerade, which was my very big love in very many years, and was the only thing I played in many, many years besides D&D. And this was just such a beautiful game. And I hope you will listen in. I don't know when it is, because I have to do a lot of research on it and figure out how to give you this system or this setting. So listen in when I'm ready for the next episode. Follow us on Facebook, GM Workshop, the podcast. If you want to interact with us and talk to us, give us a message